Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
So it's going to be good. I know that I have a message today that the devil's mad about. I do. And I know that's what's going on. And so if the message is titled, A Girl and Her Weapon, Prayer. So yeah, he's pretty mad about that because he doesn't want me to tell you who you are. He doesn't want us to find out what our power is, and he doesn't want us to know where we belong. Because once we figure out our position, then all hell breaks loose back on him. And so he tried it. Oh, you tried it today, devil, but you did not win. So let's go before the Lord. Dear Father God, we come before you, Lord, and we just pray right now, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And Lord, we pray over our families. Lord, we pray for just a blessing to be upon them. Lord, we pray for healing across the body of Christ right now. I know half of our staff is out sick. Half of our children's school is out sick. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that our congregation is healed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. We take authority over sickness. You have no place in this house. We lift up Pastor Deborah right now, God. And Lord, doctor's reports came back that her hearing is permanent. Lord, we speak right now, that is not the report of God. And Lord, we pray right now that her ears would open up, that there'd begin to be a manifestation of healing upon her, that her eyes would clear up as well. And Lord, that she will see and hear beautifully until the end of her life, until she goes home to be with you. And we command that in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Listen, I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to pray for it all. So we probably should write down our list and let's just kick the devil's butt. But let me get through the message and then we can, okay? That's why I wanted to get the anointing announcements. We had to get them out of the way because they're so not anointing and announcements in any way, shape, or form. So a girl and her weapon. I love that. A girl and her weapon, prayer. You are one amazing woman of God. You have power beyond what you know, what you think, and what you are even aware of. Did you know that? You go, no, I don't feel that way. I feel tore up. I feel tired. I feel defeated. I feel like I don't have a voice. Listen, that's what the devil likes to keep us there. He likes to keep us in a box where we don't understand what it is that we can reach outside the box and go for, what we can be in faith for. You see, God has a plan for us. Faith and prayer work together. And when we can get in faith for something and we can pray for it in faith, guess what happens? It activates heaven. All of a sudden heaven's going, ooh, faith is in that prayer. I can back that up. You know, we were in the youth conference. I was standing in the way back there. I like being in the back during the youth conference because it's just so cool to watch all the kids have their spot and their place. Plus, they crowd you in the front, and you're like, whoa, it stinks like a locker room. And so, is it true, huh? So we were in the back. And as we were in the back, this was like the altar was filled with kids. The seats were full with kids. I was just amazed. And the Lord brought back to me a time when I was working in the youth ministry. And in this youth ministry, I was so passionate about the youth ministry. Dan and I loved the youth ministry. I mean, in fact, we got married, did our honeymoon, which was like drive up and however much money we had from the wedding, that was our honeymoon. So we drove up the coast, we paid for hotels a little at a time, and that was our honeymoon because we had no money. So then we came back and we went to youth camp. Okay, we're crazy. And then from youth camp, we flew on an airplane from the mountains. My mother-in-law came and picked us up in Big Bear, drove us to the airport, and we went to Rhema. We did not go home. We did not pick up our clothes. We were done. We were on fire. We didn't want to miss youth camp. That was our heart. That was our passion. And so I remember praying crazy prayers for the youth. I'm like, well, you know, God, I pray that you'd fill the sanctuary up, that every seat would be full with teenagers and we'd pack it out. That was my prayer. And now we were in the other building. So if you remember the other building, it was smaller and I definitely could pray that prayer. And I believed, yes, we're going to fill that sanctuary up. But you know what happened? I sat in the back up there and the Lord spoke to me and said, do you remember the prayer you prayed all those years ago? And I said, what prayer? And he brought back to my remembrance when I was, the room I was in, the time I prayed the prayer. That was a prayer of faith. Mm-hmm. That was a prayer of faith. And when I prayed it, the Lord showed me, he goes, you have seen your answered prayer today. And I was like, whoa. And he's like, and you didn't have to be the one to do it. You see, I love that. Because what we pray, sometimes we think we have to be the ones to do it or make it happen. But how do we know that our prayer of faith is not a powerful weapon to combat whatever the devil has for the future? Maybe it's the next generation that's gonna reap from our prayers. Maybe it's somebody on the other side of the world that's gonna reap from your prayer of faith, because when there's faith behind our prayer, God gets in the middle of it and he goes, oh yeah, and he activates heaven and he begins to build on your prayers. You see, God has a plan, and you're a powerful woman of God. He wants you to do more, to be more, and to stretch out in faith for more. And so I believe God is asking us to do some things. I've been reading this book, and we actually have it in the bookstore. It's called Destined for the Throne by Paul Billenheimer. He is probably one of my favorite authors. If you're looking for a theological book to read on the Gospels, on love, I read one called Don't Waste Your Sorrow. It was amazing. If you've gone through a tragedy, or if you're going through a very hard time in life, do not waste your sorrow. Don't Waste Your Sorrow is like the best book ever. It was like therapy session for me every time I opened the pages. But this one is called Destined for the Throne, and it's all about prayer and who we are as a body of Christ. And I wanted to read this passage from it, okay? Just put your listening ears on. John Wesley said, God will do nothing but answer to prayer. So if we're not praying, is God going to do anything? That's pretty powerful. S.D. Gordon says, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. You see, your cute little butts aren't here because no one prayed for you not to be here. It was long, dark nights of Pastor Deborah and the team and me praying that you would come, praying that you would have a divine appointment with God, praying that your families would be blessed, praying that whatever demonic powers have been placed against your families would be broken, praying that you would see salvation, praying that you would see healing. You see, this is a service that is gathering those prayers, but the blow was when we first started praying. That's what he's saying in that. Does that make sense? E.M. Bounds says, prayer, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in this world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries his great work upon the earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of his cause on prayer. His cause is based on our prayer. You see, that's powerful. If we're not praying, nothing's happening. Because God's not gonna do something apart from us. He's in a marriage with us. We've been talking about the marriage series. In Ephesians, it says that is a bride and his groom, and he is the groom. We are the bride of Christ. We work hand in hand together. God is saying, I need you to pray because I've got some things to do. I have causes, I have ways, I have things that need to be released, but if you're not doing it, I can't do it. Because you're my partner. You're who I placed and gave authority to on this earth when I left. Powerful stuff. A.J. Gordon famously said, if these things are true, then prayer should be the main business of our day. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. See, this is a time that God is calling us to get on our knees. It's a time when he wants us to know who we are. So if we're in this battle and if we're fighting in this very dark world, there's some nasty things around us on a daily basis. We're faced with decisions that are intense decisions on a daily basis. You never know what's around the corner. I just read an Instagram of a lady that I'm following. She is a business owner. She's pretty affluent in her business. And you know the way her Instagram looks, it looks like life's good. Right? Today she posted, I need you to pray. I didn't even know she was really saved. I need you to pray. My mother-in-law got in something tragic happened to her at her work yesterday. It's turned our world around. My husband was on a business trip. I'm going in for an MRI. I need the prayers of the saints. And I was like, I don't know you, but I'm praying heaven down right now. Yeah. And you know what? That is where the enemy is defeated, is when we begin to link arms. Instead of, I don't want to tell anybody about what's going on. You don't have to give the details, girls. But you know what you can do? You can ask for prayer. There's nothing wrong. Nobody denies prayer. I have talked to the people that are the atheists of atheists. Oh, I don't believe that there's a God. okay, well, can I pray for you? Sure. It's like the weirdest thing in the whole entire world. I'm like, okay. I just proved you wrong right there. So basics for the battle plan. If we're in a battle plan, what are our basics, right? If we're the girl with the weapon, what is our plan? Number one, the number one part of our plan is that we have to have confidence in our position. I can't go to battle and be broke down, busted, and disgusted, put on my armor and be like, okay, I'm ready. What's gonna happen? The enemy's gonna take me out, he's gonna wipe me out, he's gonna throw me out, he's gonna kick me out, he's gonna beat me up, right? No, I have to be confident in who I am. Let me ask you a question. Who holds the balance of the power of the world? Satan or the church? The church. Now, Satan has been left on this earth to rule, right? But who has power over Satan? But do we act like it? We don't act like it. The church isn't confident enough in knowing our position. So the enemy wreaks havoc wherever he can. He gets in the middle of our marriages. He gets in the middle of our kids. He gets in the middle of our hearts. He gets into our mind and he says twisted and sick things. And when we don't know who we are in Christ, he is allowed to come in and beat us up. But let's read about some things in the Bible. Now, I have a lot of Bible scriptures today. You guys ready? You got your word? Because this is what combats hell. This is what hell is afraid of. So I want you to pull your scriptures out. We're going to go to 1 John 5:14. Now listen, as I was reading this, I'm like, that's a lot of scripture for me. I normally don't do that much scripture, but I just couldn't get away from it. Because God has something for us. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in you. Girls, play with me today. This is the confidence we have in my bank account. In what the doctor says about my health. I'll tell you something. When my mom got that report on Monday, first thing she said to me was, I don't care what they say. I have a bigger God who heals and who knows and who restores, and he's my healer. What's coming out of our mouths? Who's our confidence in? Him. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will. Now remember, we talked about his will in the beginning of this. We said a good plan for us to follow with his will is it good for God, good for others, and good for me? Yeah. And if it is, usually the heart of God will back you, and you are praying in the power of God. My prayer for the youth to be filled in this main sanctuary was a faith-willed, God-willed prayer. I did not know it at the time. I didn't know if I'd ever see it at the time. I'm grateful God allowed me to see that. But it may be that when we pray the will of God, and we can have confidence in that, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we will have the petitions that we have asked him. James 15 through 6. Okay, 15, 16, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to 15, verse 15. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. You know, so many times, oh, I'll pray for you. Oh, you don't feel good? I'll pray for you. And do we ever go home and pray for them? You forget, right? You forget. It's not like you're a bad Christian if you don't. You really do have the good intention in your heart to pray for them. Sometimes I say, let's just pray right now. Because you don't want to waste time. You don't want to move, you know, forget. Or if I'm not, like, with them, you know what I do? I just stop whatever I'm doing and I pray. And I ask God to move on their behalf, to heal their body, to do whatever it is. Because I am not going to say, I'm going to pray for something and then I'm not going to follow it up. My yes is yes and my no is no. So let's begin to remember that if we say, I'm praying for you, that you're really going to pray for them. But when we pray for someone, when I pray, oh, Michelle, let me pray for you and let me see if you're going to feel good. Let's just hope God heals you. No. Listen, my prayer of faith is, I believe my God is going to heal you. I believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I believe that what the enemy meant for bad, God will turn it around for good. You see, I have to get faith out of me so that faith can then move and activate heaven, and it builds me up, And I become more than a conqueror because, see, Jesus already died on the cross for sickness. It was already covered with his blood. He had already paid for that. And because of that, I can be more than a conqueror. That means I didn't have to defeat it already. He already did it for me. All I have to do is walk in it. And there goes the lights all the way down. The lights in the back, they fell down. Be careful, girls. Please sit up front. Okay. That's why those lights are there. Okay. So confess your trespasses. Oh, well, let me go back. Faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Okay, so have we ever raised anybody from the dead? Let me tell you a crazy story. My mom, she's nuts. Okay, you guys know she's crazy. So like, one time we had horses. We lived on property where we had horses, and I did not know this, but my horse died in the middle of the night. I did not know my horse died because when I woke up in the morning, he was alive. And my mom went out there and prayed over this horse, laid hands on it, and that sucker came back to life. I mean, she was crazy. I'm like, I love it. I have another friend, and his mom, she's just as crazy as my mom. And you know, these are like faith women, like anything go, if I lay hands, it'll raise from the dead. Like they just know who God is, right? And this is how she is. She said she was on vacation, and they were on the beach, and this man started screaming because his wife stopped breathing, and she was completely dead. And their little boy was there. It was a bad situation. She ran over to him, laid hands on his wife, and said, "Can I pray for her?" She has no idea if this man knew who Jesus was, but she didn't care. She knew who Jesus was. Yeah. She laid hands on this lady. This lady raised from the dead. She literally had no pulse. She was dead. And she was raised from the dead. When the EMTs came, they said, how did that happen? And I go, you know what? I know how it happened. She goes, oh, I know how it happened. I had faith for it. And I know God who can do it. And you see, sometimes we limit God. And God says, why are you limiting me? I'm the one who created heaven and earth. I'm the one who formed you in your mother's womb. I'm the one that breathed and life happened. I'm the one that knew where the sand and the water stops. Otherwise, we would be drowning right now. You see, he's the one that puts the solar systems in place. He's not blown away by El Nino. Hello. And he's not shocked by global warming. I'm not worried about us because let me tell you something. Maybe it's part of the plan. Maybe God's coming back. Maybe it's not something I gotta worry about, but I gotta just pray about and say, God, you got this. You take care of us. You see, nothing's too big for him. Verse 16. Oh, and if I've committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why does it say that right in the middle of this verse when it's talking about prayer? Because you know why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because if we could get love in the center of it, if we could be honest with each other and say, hey, Beth, I screwed up. Forgive me. You know, I had to call Dan this morning and be like, I'm sorry for yelling at you. Are you sorry for not helping me? And I didn't say it that nicely. But we had to talk. We had to communicate. We had to just work it out. We had to mesh it out. Some of you going, oh, I hate confrontation. What is prayer? Confrontation? You have to deal with it, girls. You can't just push it under the rug. Pick it up, push it under the rug, close it down. Nobody has to see it. You're going to be walking on a big old mound every time you go over that rug because there's going to be some bitterness and unforgiveness and unfaithfulness and all these things. And you're going to go, why is this happening? Why are my prayers not being answered? Why is God not hearing me from heaven? Why do I feel so weak? Why do I feel like I can't win this battle? Why are things not working out? Because guess what? Love is what keeps it all working. Love is God's plan. Love is what covers everything and brings it back together. So then our prayers are free to go up and for him to hear. Forgiveness rules and it reigns. Pastor Luke has been talking about it for the last couple weeks. You should get those messages if you haven't heard about it. You see, I love this part of it. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Maybe your healing is contingent upon your unforgiveness. Maybe you haven't dealt with something and God's going, I am not going to bless you until you get your stuff together. Oh, I can heal you. But what are you doing on your piece? What's your part in it? Where's your faith? Are you loving someone? Are you dealing with your issues? Girls, deal with your stuff because God has a blessing to be unlocked for you. But we tie him up. And then we say, oh, it's all God's fault. He's not moving on my behalf. He's not doing. Poor guy, he gets blamed for a whole lot of junk. Do you notice that? He gets blamed for all of our weaknesses, and he's still a good man. All right, confess your trespasses. We talked about that. The last part of this verse, my favorite part. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Effective means working power. Ooh, I need some working power in my prayer life. I need God to move in my prayer life. I need some working, moving power in my life. Effective change. Oh, I need some change because when I pray, I'm not praying just to pray. I'm praying because I want to see change. I'm praying because I need things to move. I need heaven's resource to come down here on earth and to begin to change an atmosphere, to change a heart, to change something. You see, the effectant, fervent prayer of the righteous man. Now, remember, he said, confess your sins to each other. Ooh, walk in love with each other. A righteous man does that. He couldn't say that part of the verse until you dealt with the other stuff first. Does that make sense? He's so subtle in how he says it. The effective prayer of a righteous man. Listen, we were created in the image of God. Did you know that? You were created by him. Now, check this out. Angels weren't created like God. But we think of angels as, oh, so holy, and they get to go to the throne room, and they are just amazing. Listen, you're more important than the angels. They know that. They know their positions. They know their place. Your position is at the right hand. Your position is a daughter of the Most High God. Your position is humongous. You were created in his image. Genesis says, so God created man in his own image. Genesis 1:27. God created him male and female. He created them. God created us. My favorite verse in this, and then we'll go on to the next point. Turn with me to Ephesians. We're talking about prayer. This is a prayer that if you ever come sit down in a counseling session with me, you'll probably walk out with it. Because it's my homework for most people. Ephesians. And yes, I do know where it's at, but it's not opening up. Okay, there we go. Ephesians 1. This is a prayer, okay? And I want you to put your name in it. Because if you can get this, if you can grasp this, if you can memorize this, you're going to know your position in the kingdom. You're going to understand the power that you hold and that you carry through prayer. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus may give unto you, the Father of glory may give unto you the wisdom and glory, that the Lord and the Spirit of, wait, where am I? Okay, I'm going to read one. I'm looking up and down, up and down. Sorry, I'm not a good reader. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's the will. That's his will right there. So that we may know his will. Okay? That what? The riches of his glory, of his inheritance. That means what he's left us in the saints. What has he left us? That's the question. Okay, what did he leave us? When he died on that cross, went to hell for us, guys. He had to go cross the border of hell for us. Take the keys of sin and death. That means Satan had control of sin and death. But, oh, Jesus took those back and said, you have no more control over those things. Okay? You understanding this now? The inheritance, what is exceeding the greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, move on, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places. When he went and got the keys of sin and death, Jesus went and sat at the Father's side. Before he did, he stopped here on earth and he took a pit stop. Remember he talked to Mary. Do you remember that? And then he talked to the apostles. He said, oh, I'm real. Walk through walls. You can put your finger through my hand. Pretty amazing stuff. I mean, he had to show off a little bit. I mean, it was a pretty cool experience, right? Far above all principalities, that's demonic activity, might, and dominion. Listen, what are you allowing in your homes? What are you entertaining? What are people walking in your house carrying with them? What are they leaving when they leave? I know I'm crazy, but every worker that comes in my house before they leave, I'm like, in the name of Jesus, whatever they brought in, they got to go back out. I am. Ask my mother-in-law, I'm crazy. I'll take some oil, I'll put it over the doors, I'll put it over the windows. This house is anointed. No evil demonic thing can live in this house. You say, oh, she's crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus, and I know my authority and I know my power. You see, because I've been taught, and you're being taught right now, that you have power, daughter of the Most High, far above principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. What is being named in front of you? Cancer? Oh, come on. Cancer has to go in the name of Jesus. Diabetes? Oh, I don't have to live with diabetes anymore. In the name of Jesus, you have to go, and I'm going to do my part and get healthy. I'm going to do my piece. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. I'm going to be who God's asked me to be. You see, we have power over these things, but we live with them because we're just comfortable in it. We haven't taken our dominion or our place. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in witches to come. I believe we are also witches to come because this is written a really long time ago. Keep going. And he has put all things under his feet. He's already defeated it. It's already been done. We are more than conquerors, right? And he gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now, who's the ruler of this world? Remember, I asked you that question. Is it Satan or is it the church? Church, right? So if we have the power and we have the rule, then he has given him head over all things to you, the church. You are the church. The church is not this building. You carry Jesus everywhere you go. You are the walking church. You are the walking testimony. You are the one with the power that is carried, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You see, what a beautiful prayer. God wants us to know our place, know what he's done for our place, because it was given at quite a cost. We were given our positions with a great price, and he paid it for you and I. So, a conqueror overcomes within the framework of God's plan. The framework of God's plan is prayer and faith together. Okay? And then the prayer closet is the arena that produces a overcomer. I want to be an overcomer. And it's already when I can get my faith and my prayer together and I can go into my prayer closet, ooh, that's my arena. That's where, don't mess with me. Now sometimes, let's talk about a prayer closet for a second. Some of you like to pray with your husbands and they don't get you. Some of you like to pray with your kids and they're like, oh, okay, whatever. You still need to do that, yes. But you also need to be cautious. They may not be on the level of spirituality you are, and they might think you're crazy. They may not understand what you're saying when you're talking about binding this and doing that and go back to hell. And they're like, what? Listen, the Bible talks about go into your prayer closet. That's your alone time. That's your place to be with God. Dan and I, we pray together. But guess what? We pray more apart than we do together. I've actually talked to a lot of pastors that team lead, and they barely pray together because their prayer time is between them and God. And that's where they, and then they encourage each other in their talks, in their faith, in their time together. But your prayer time in your prayer closet, getting the word in you, changing you, molding you, shaping you, guiding you, redirecting you, I can't get that from Dan. Dan's not that source for me, and he knows that, and he's okay with that. He likes that. Less pressure for him. And I'm not that for him. The only one that could be that for him and the only one that could be that for me is him. Okay? So get into our prayer closets. Know our position. We are more than... Whoa, that's sad. Girlfriend, are you more than a...
Conqueror.
Yeah. Come on, let the devil hear you. You're more than a...
Conqueror.
There you go. You want him to be afraid to know who you are. He's scared. Number two, basics for a battle plan is we have to be willing to pray. You know, we could talk the talk. Ooh, girl, I'll pray for you. Oh, yeah, I pray. Mm-hmm. And then you're like going, I'm such a liar. I should be praying better. Like, I am just not a good prayer. Listen, we have to be willing to put in the time. We can't just talk it. We have to do it. You have to actually do it. Now, I'm not saying you have to go into that prayer closet that I was talking. My world in a closet would be very hard right now. It's crazy. And when I get home, I don't have time to sit in a closet. I have a million gazillion things to do and a lot of little voices asking me for them. So what I have to do is, sometimes the staff will see me. I'll be sitting in my car out front in my parking spot. And sometimes I'm counseling and sometimes I'm praying. They don't know that. They probably think I'm counseling. But I'm actually praying. And you see, you find your peace. Whatever alone moment you have, steal it. And take it. And it doesn't have to be this long session with God. Listen, I've had experience with him, and sometimes he needs to work through things, and that takes time. But then there's times when he's like, bam, and you're like, yes, sir, I've got it. I'm on my way. You see what I'm saying? He will do whatever it is you need at your moment in your season. Remember, God meets us where we're at. Okay? So be willing to pray. God needs us to pray, because remember, he's not going to move unless we pray. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given unto you, and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. You have not because you ask not. Listen, let's go to John. Therefore pray and the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Matthew 9:38. Listen, mamas with some older kids that you cannot get through to them. Pray for laborers to go out into the harvest field across your children's path. Send them out. And you know, they'll think they're all cool and they'll be in a crowd and all of a sudden they'll be that one Christian. Hey, you know, there's just something, how are you doing? You know, hey, you wanna go to church with me? What? Oh, well, I should. And maybe they would be more likely to change their world around someone who's not so just you. I don't know why that is, but honestly, it's true. It was like my mom could say nothing to me, but the youth workers could say everything, you know? And I don't know why that is. It's just, there's different seasons for that. Believe me, they will come back and be your best friend later, so don't worry about it. But send those laborers out. Maybe it's your husband at work. Maybe it's your uncle. Maybe it's your you know, brother or sister that live in another state or another country. What about the missionaries that give their lives every day to bring out the gospel? Send laborers across their path to encourage them because they're feeling weak or tired or they're feeling vulnerable or they're scared or whatever they may be going through. You see, when we pray those things, that's the will of God. Whenever you're praying the word of God, the will of God will back that. He will do it and it will happen because God loves us. God loves us. Ooh, I love John, the book of John, John 14. We're going to start in John 14:13. Is this too much scripture? You guys can hang. You guys hang? And whatever you ask in my name that I will do, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, verse 14, in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Let's go to 15:7, just right over. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Woo. I like these verses. Okay, verse 16, 23 through 24. You ready? And in the day that you will ask me nothing, most assuredly I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Did you guys see any attachments to that? There was no attachments. He says, ask and you'll get it. Ask and you'll get it. Now listen, don't be asking sinful things. You ain't gonna get that. We already covered that. Ask and pray the will of God, and God will give it. It's God's will for you to prosper, lovely ladies. It's God's will for you to have a good job. It's God's will for you to be healed. It's God's will for you for your children to serve the Lord and not follow down the path of the unrighteous. It is God's will for you to have joy in life and not be so bound and confined and conflicted by things. It's God's will for you to be free from depression. It's God's will for you to find happiness and joy in those moments that you would never normally find joy and happiness in. You see, He wants that for you. You just have to ask for it. When we begin to ask, God begins to move. We can say it, but we need to just do it. Number three, basics for training. Take your authority. You have authority in Jesus Christ. The devil knows about it, but you don't. See, he takes advantage of us not knowing what our authority is in Christ. We learned about that in Ephesians, right? That we have authority over principalities of darkness. Listen, put on your armor every day, girlfriends. I put on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness. Oh, my belt of truth, my sword of the Spirit, my shield of faith. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. No weapon formed against me or my family will prosper. I pray that prayer every single night with my children. In fact, when we don't pray, I hear them shouting it down the hall, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot, I'm tired. Because it's part of us. It's in our DNA. We know who we are, and we're ready for battle, whether it's in the middle of the night or whether it's during the day. The devil doesn't play games. He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't care who you are, but he knows your authority. And once you figure it out, that's when he begins to shudder and all hell goes, oh no. There's nothing more scary than a woman who knows who she is in Christ. And listen to me. God has that for us. Matthew 16, 18 through 19. Turn with me there. It says, what is bound? We're going to get into this. The word bound means something that limits or restrains. Okay? I want you to keep that in mind. To be bound is to limit or to restrain. Okay? So in Matthew 16, God says some things about our authority. Verse 18, it says, and I also say unto you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Did you know that's where we got our name from? That's our founding scripture. And I, ever since we have moved into this building, have been trying to get that scripture up on these walls. But then there's always some type of a design that isn't proper. And I'm going to get that scripture up because that's who we are. That's where the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, that's where that came from, is this verse. When my parents started this church, that was the verse that it was founded on. And the gates of hell shall not prevail upon this rock. Let's go to the next verse. And it says, verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Woo! Hold on a second. He went to hell and took the keys of sin and death. He holds the keys of heaven. I never expected to get a key, but you know, when I lived in my parents' house, what happened? I had a key. I hated losing my key because then my dad would have to know what time I got home at night, and I'd have to ring the doorbell, and he'd have to let me in. But I had a key to my house. My friends didn't have a key to my house. Other people that did not have privilege did not have keys to my house. I had a key to the house, though, because I was a part of the family. So God is saying, you're a part of the family now, daughter. You deserve a key to heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, now remember, whatever you limit or restrain on earth is bound in heaven. That means it is done. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 says it again. He says it two times. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That means I cannot bind anything until I say it. I can't think, devil, you just... He's attacking me and I'm like, he's not reading my thoughts. He knows my actions. He's been studying humanity from the time we were like created. He knows all about us. He knows our mannerisms. He knows when things aren't happy, but he does not know what I'm saying internally. I got to speak it. And out of it forms godly words of power and authority. All right? This is quite a Pentecostal message. You should be amening a whole heck of a lot more. Because when we understand the authority that we speak, the power of God backs us, and hell is bound here on earth, and then it's bound in heaven. I loose blessing in my family, then that's loosed in heaven. Whatever's bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. What are you allowing to be released in your homes? you're getting. But when you say, in the name of Jesus, you no longer have authority over my family, over my heart, over my marriage, over my job, over my finances. I bind you, Satan, in all of your works. I say in the name of Jesus, every plan and assignment and scheme that you had, it is broken right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose blessing, and I pray blessing, and I pray prosperity, and I pray healing. And you begin to get in the face of the devil. And girlfriend, you stand up strong. You have your armor on. You know who you are. You're willing to do it. And then you know what else? You have the authority to say it. You will not be defeated. The devil cannot touch you. He won't play games with you. You have more power than you know because you're a mighty woman of the Most High God. You're a daughter of the King. You have the keys to heaven. So when authority is released, God backs it. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever is bound in heaven is bound in on earth. Listen, we're a team. Luke 10:19. Ooh, I love this one. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I should say that again. Behold, this is Jesus, I give you authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The devil's a liar, girlfriend. He's a liar from the pit of hell. He will throw things. He will put things in your head that will twist you. He will play games with you. Oh, he'll send the world to speak loud. Be who you are. That's my favorite message right now with the young people. Oh, just be who you are. Well, who the heck are you without Christ? You're nobody. You're a sinner. You need a savior. We all have to change. We all have to put sin aside and do what God's asked us to do. We were born into this world as sinners. Did you know that? Whoa, what a concept. The whole point is us getting back to our maker, coming back under and in healing and in a new relationship and becoming new creations. You see, but the world gets in. Something as stupid as the movie Frozen, they sing a song that people can't change. And I always tell my kids, you know that's not true, right? You know that's not true. There's another child movie. People never change. They are who they are. And I'm like, that is such a lie from the pit of hell. People can change. They can be who God has called them to be. They are not defeated already. They don't have to stay busted, and disgusted. Their lives don't have to go on a path of hell. See what I'm saying? It's so subtle. It's so subtle. Girlfriends, what are we praying? What are we not taking authority over in our lives? I'm going to ask you that question. Think about that for a second. What have I lived with for so long that I don't need to? What have I been allowing in that just shouldn't stay? What is it that I'm not taking authority over? Wow. Because there's a big God who loves us so much. He says, I gave you the keys to the kingdom, girlfriend. You have heaven's keys, but use them. You see, battles might not be easy times, but in a battle, there's always a blessing that pours out on the other side from it. There's always a blessing. And every battle is worth a fight. Except for when you're with your husband, learn to pick your fights. But you see what I'm saying? When you're fighting something and there's that opposition and there's that tension and there's that, I reached over to Michelle today and I said, gosh, this has just been a morning that I'm like, ugh. And I said, it's probably because of what I'm preaching. Because see, I now can recognize that I'm not actually coming up against Pastor Dan, because he's pretty amazing. Just poor guy needs to get healed in Jesus' name. And I was yelling at him, you need to speak faith over yourself. But you know what? Honestly, it's probably because my mom never let me be sick. I'm like, I don't feel good. Too bad. You better get in faith. And I was like, okay, yes, ma'am. I was never allowed. Like, it's funny. It's like, sucker. So you have a pastor that's not going to be majorly sympathetic on things that we have authority over, okay? I will promise to push you down a path of faith. I promise to love you through that walk as you grow in it. But I want you, girlfriends, to know how incredibly amazing and how incredibly powerful and how incredibly threatening you are to the powers of hell that try to take over our world. If we began to pray, what would change? Everything. You know, our country's a mess right now. It's a hot mess. We don't understand what's going on, but boy, I listen to these politicians and make me just puke, all of them. No man has the answer for everything. Not one man. Then all of them together, I'm like, oh my gosh, you all are just so drama. They're drama. It's like, good Lord, can someone just please just let Jesus come back and rule us? Because, woo, man is a mess. You know, the craziest story in the Bible for me is it, the first king was King Solomon, right? Yeah, Saul. And they said, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. And God's going, you don't need a king. Why do you need a king? I'm your king. We want a king. Fine, have your king. You see, sometimes I think we have put some things into place. But you know how we can turn that around? Prayer. Where we pray, God, your will in this for our country. Your way in this for our country. God, I pray, God, that no matter who and what, God, that you would position our country back to health again, back to prosperity again, back to blessing again, back to encouragement again, back to love again. Oh, Holy Spirit, that your word would be the center and the core of our country again. You see, how come we're not praying that anymore? We need to pray for the power of God to move in our country again. I know this is stupid, but you know, it's summer outside and it's February. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love the sun and I would be swimming in a pool right now if I didn't have to be here. But it's not right. We really need water or we're going to turn into Palm Desert. Okay? It's the reality of it. Especially with all these restrictions and then they're raising our prices. That's a whole nother issue. We need to pray for those people because they're stealing from us. But the reality of this is that my sister was talking to me and she said, well, do you know why that's happening? This weird warm front came up and sat right here and it pushed El Nino away from us. If that were to move, then El Nino would be actually here and we'd get the rain. And I said, well, then we need to pray. We need to pray that God moves that warm front out of the way and that we get the water and the rain that our area of California needs. You see, we have power over that stuff. Don't tell me we can't pray for the weather. Hello, they prayed for rain. He danced in it. God can do anything. Don't think there's nothing you can't ask for. And listen, if it's his will, he'll do it. If it's not, he just won't do it. And Pastor Sue prays for it every time we have a women's event. Seriously, no more events. We're screwing up the weather system here. It's all our fault. But honestly, and it usually will stop raining the day of her event, and the next day it'll rain. And we just laugh about it. That's just like an inside joke between the staff. Oh, get Pastor Sue to pray for your event. She'll take care of it. She always says, you need to give me some time. I got to go be with God. I got to pray this out. And you need to give God some time to work that around. Don't call me about the birthday parties, though, she says. So listen. If there's nothing too big for God and you are an awesome daughter of God who has power and authority, then let's pray down some heaven right now. Can we pray? Do we have time? I think we have time. How did I get through that so fast? God was good to me. Hallelujah. Okay, well then let's pray. You guys want to pray?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.